All right. Our sermon for today is titled, Peace Can't Wait. I know you're excited, Wyatt. Are you ready? We're going to hear about it. We are entering the second week of Advent. Yeah, tell me about it. It's exciting, right? These are the 4 weeks before Christmas. For those of you who are learning about Advent, the wreath we light each week is a tradition created by a German pastor in the 19th century as a way to teach kids about the coming of Christ. Candles are lit on Sundays, or in our case, Saturday evening of Advent. Three are purple for penitence. The fourth is pink for joy. And the final white light is the Christ candle, which we light on Christmas Eve. Advent comes for us in the darkest time of the year. It's so hard to have it grow dark in the middle of the afternoon. And yet the darkness teaches us so many things. In today's lesson about what can't wait, we learned that peace can't wait. Kate Bowler reminds us that the thing is that darkness will never take us by surprise. We know that we are born into a broken world, that violence and sin are daily constants in life on planet Earth, and it took a hideous death of an innocent man to free us. We also know that there is an inexhaustible source of brightness and warmth in the person of Jesus, who first appeared to us as a baby in a manger 2,000 years ago. That's why light is so much a part of the Advent season. When the early church chose December 25th as the date to celebrate the Nativity, they must have been aware of the powerful symbolism of midwinter, when the seasons turn, when darkness begins at last to diminish. In one of the early medieval songs sung on the 7 evenings before Christmas Eve, Jesus is hailed as, O dawn of the east, splendor of light eternal, and sun of justice. We sing in our carol, O come, O day spring, come and cheer our spirits by thine advent here, and drive away the shades of night, and pierce the clouds, and bring us light. The arrival of Jesus was preceded by a light in the heavens that guided the Magi and was hailed by an old wise man in the temple as the appearance of a light unto the Gentiles. Christ became our light in the darkness of this world. So happy Advent, my dears. May we all experience a little courage in the dark, short days of winter, knowing that this is the season when the brightest light of all streaks forward. See, Advent is a time of preparation. We prepare our hearts for the arrival of Jesus, the babe, to break into the darkness and rewrite the story. Our reading from Isaiah talks about how this time will be a remarkable time when peace will break forth. In God's time, a peace will arrive when the wolf will lie down with the lamb and a child shall lead them. This is a new world order, one where creation is in harmony. In the time when Isaiah wrote this, kings demonstrated their strength by killing lions. Isaiah says no. It's time to repent of killing and create a world where lions and lambs lie down together. In our second reading, a great one about John the Baptist, that hairy guy who lived in the wilderness, off the grid and surprising everyone, we learn how important it is to repent. As we prepare for Jesus, we need to hear John's call to repent. Repent is a strange word. I usually imagine it on a sign held up by some intense fundamentalist on a signboard in a city. But what does repentance come from in the Greek word metanoia, which means to transform our hearts. What does God need us to transform in our hearts to be more at peace? John the Baptist spent his life teaching people to turn their lives around, to choose baptism and transformed lives following Jesus. We are called to repent, to turn our lives around. Peace begins in our hearts. We may not be able to transform all the nations, but we can begin with the light of a candle in the darkness here in the meeting house. Symbolically, as we light a candle for peace, we are invited to see ourselves as instruments of peace. Where can we use our bodies, our minds, our dollars, and our prayers to build peace? Perhaps we can begin with a single relationship. Is there a relationship in your life that is in disrepair? How can you work to heal that brokenness? Maybe it means phoning an estranged friend, writing a letter, or simply letting go of what no longer serves you. If we remain angry at someone who is no longer alive, we suffer. They aren't alive anymore, so let us practice the possibility of healing by forgiving what cannot be healed if the person is no longer alive. You can light a candle of peace in your community. Perhaps this means writing a check to a charitable organization you care about, dropping off food, or bringing some mittens to our mitten tree, or sending Sarah Wyatt and her gang off with salad and money to feed the hungry at St. Joseph's. I read this remarkable short story written by a young African-American woman living on the south side of Chicago named Journey Jameson that beautifully illustrates how she chose to practice peace. This 15-year-old woman decided to take a class called Gunshot Wound First Aid Class, where she learned how to dress and apply pressure to someone who was wounded by a gun. The next week, she's home alone in her apartment in the south side of Chicago when she hears the sounds of guns going off in her apartment building. An injured man showed up at her door. Because of her training, she knew immediately what to do. She asked permission to call 911. She applied pressure to the wound and kept him alive. She saved this young man, PETA's, life and encouraged his family to take training classes as well. Here is how Journey sums up her story. You know how in school you learn the plot of a story and it's like expository, the rising action, climax, falling action, resolution? For me, change has its own plot. It starts with action and getting information, and then sharing that information with somebody. And so being able to train his family was the experience coming full circle for me. It empowered me. It gave me a lot of confidence. You hear all the time that children are the future. But I refuse to settle for being the future when I can be the right now. See, Journey has it right. We need to have peace now. It begins in our own lives. She felt unable to save a friend, so she took a class on emergency preparedness. And then when the emergency happened, she knew just how to step in, and she saved PETA's life. Each of you is a light in the world where it can seem that darkness is all around. Do not be afraid to step in to act on the side of love. Know this, the darkness does not overcome it. Know that you can be the light. Spread love and kindness, be peace for a world in need. Amen.